Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
And I am so excited about this series that we are beginning. Mark chapter 10 tells us the story of blind Bartimaeus. It's the only place where Bartimaeus is named, and there are other accounts of blind men, but this is the only scripture that talks about him by name. We'll read three verses in your standing. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Somebody say begging. He needed sight, but he was begging for money. Let me say that again. He needed sight, but he was asking for money. Sometimes you got to start asking the right questions, or you're going to get answers to things you really don't need. He didn't need a dollar. He needed a miracle. We'll get to that here in a couple weeks, I'm sure. Verse 47, and when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He spoke with volume, and their volume tried to drown out his volume. And so our new series is Tuning Out the Noise. Tuning out the noise. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I don't need to hear everybody else. I need to hear from Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Also want to encourage you, 11 a.m. on Sunday, Pastor Mandy, we very rarely ever get here, her on the main, in the main sanctuary preaching, but this Sunday at 11, she will be doing so, and I'm excited about that. Here are five takeaways in this series that we're going to jump into over the next four Wednesdays. Number one, we're going to help everyone in the room and online. We're going to help you focus on hearing. We always think about focus as it pertains to vision, but we're going to focus on what we are listening to. Number two, we're going to discover the difference between hearing and listening. Come on, Mom. You know what it means to have kids in your house that hear you, but they ain't listening. Come on. Anybody that knows, anybody that's married knows what it's like to be heard, but not listened to. Number three, we're going to find out the power of the mute button. Being able to mute people, or maybe even yourself. Number four, going back to the married couples, the power of selective hearing. Mandy and I have gotten to where we text each other a lot of things because we want written record of what was said, what was agreed to. And there's been a lot of times in the last almost 20 years where I might have said something, but 3 weeks later, she said, that's not what you said. But because there was no written form or recorded form, that selective hearing, I don't remember saying that. I don't remember hearing that. And number five, what to do when you can't control the volume of them, what to do when you can't control the volume. Those are the five things that we're going to dive into as it relates to blind Bartimaeus and Jesus. Living Way, the world is getting loud. It's getting louder every day. The world is loud about everything. They're loud about politics, loud about sports, loud about entertainment. They're loud about anything and everything. However, loud doesn't always mean you're right. Have you ever argued or debated with someone who could go from 0 to 120 in 3 seconds? And they get real loud, real quick. All the yellers and the screamers that are listening to me tonight need to know this. The volume at which you express your point doesn't make it any more valid. It just shows the volatility of your emotions. I'm preaching to the mirror right now, not to you. Just because you say it the loudest doesn't mean you're right. Doesn't prove your point anymore just because you get expressive and emotional. That's one of the greatest things I love about Mandy is Mandy keeps it here all the time. And she's here and I'm here and I'm here and I'm here and I'm here. And she's just right here the entire time. I don't know where you fall, and it doesn't matter really where you fall on the Johnny Depp saga. I have to say that whole courtroom saga has been one of the most entertaining things I've seen in a long time. But one of the things that I appreciate about Johnny Depp is Johnny Depp keeps it here the entire time. No matter what was being said about him, horrific things being said about him, he kept it right here the whole time. Why? Because sometimes our volume robs us of what argument we're trying to make. And a lot of times the volume of what's going on around you becomes a thief. It can rob you of your voice. The volume can rob you of what you're trying to get done. And so blind Bartimaeus, as we go back to Mark chapter 10 here in the next few weeks, we're going to see that blind Bartimaeus, he matched the volume that he needed to, but when he got loud, the enemy got loud. And I want to encourage you, the church needs to get loud again. It broke my heart over the last 72 hours to see people in the streets that are literally screaming for the murdering of other human beings. You said, I missed that. No, it's because the world calls it abortion. We call it murder. It's bad that the church sits in churches a couple days a week and we shout about God, but when it comes to the reality of what's happening on the outside of this church, we get really quiet about what's going on. And I want to encourage you, it is time for the church to get loud. We sang a song on Sunday that, hey, you've got a lion in those lungs. Let that thing out. Let that thing roar. If they're going to be loud about that, let's be loud about Jesus. If they're going to be loud about hate, let's be loud about love. If they're going to be loud about murdering, let's be loud about resurrection. We're going to be loud. But the thing is the world gets loud, and even if we get loud, you know what God's word never does? God's word never gets loud. God keeps it right here. Because God doesn't have to get loud about his word. His truth prevails. And when you understand that the volume of the word of God sometimes doesn't get very loud, that means we have to do our parts to listen to what God is saying. The enemy will use volume and the noise around us to drown out the voice of God from being heard. Because he understands if you can't hear the word, you can't do the word. And so I want to encourage you, church, when we talk about tuning out the noise and turning down the noise of the world, it is more so about not really being concerned with what they're doing and leaning into Jesus and what God's word has said and what Jesus' spirit is saying. And I want to encourage you that this is just as much about a prayer and dialogue with God every day than it is a Bible school or VBS or Sunday school story about blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus, in the most simplistic way that I can describe this story, is Bartimaeus heard Jesus, and then Jesus heard Bartimaeus. And our point as a church is to make sure that we are loud enough about Jesus that the blind, the sick, the confused, the lost, and the messed up say, God, I hear you, and God, now I'm going to speak in such a way that you hear me too. Revelation 3, verse 20 says, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. Jesus can open any door that he wants to do, but Jesus will not force his way into your life. Jesus is not the SWAT team. He will not kick a door down to get to you. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And I know a lot of you think that knock is, you think he's banging on the door to get your attention. But sometimes that knock is, But because the volume of the world is such that we are listening to what they're saying, we're watching what they're doing, we are missing out on opportunities that God is literally speaking kingdom strategies and kingdom secrets to our lives. But because we're so tuned in to them, we miss what God is saying. And when we miss what God is saying, we miss what he's doing. And when we miss what God is saying, we miss out on what we're supposed to do. Now, even if we want to be obedient, we can't be obedient because we did not hear the voice of God. Even though the world is getting louder, God and his word have remained at the same volume, the same level. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 through verse 13, and we probably won't get much past this tonight. And he said, go forth and stand up on the mount, that he being God. And God said, go forth and stand up on the mount before the Lord, and before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by Elijah. And when he passed by, a great and strong wind rent the mountain and brake the mountain, broke off pieces of the rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Some of us miss God because we're looking for this big, grand move. And sometimes God is not moving grand because I think the biggest moves of your life start with a whisper from God. Let me say that again, church. I believe some of the biggest moves of our lives and the biggest moves of the church, capital C, worldwide, start with a whisper from God. And that's why prayer is so important. That's why corporate prayer at church is important. But that's why it's important for us like David to find a secret place of thunder and lock ourselves in our bedrooms or maybe in our car going down the freeway on the work, having a moment where God can whisper to us. Maybe it's time that we turn everything down and say, God, for the next few moments, I'm going to talk to you. But at the end of this prayer, God, I'm going to give you 5 minutes for you to impart and invest and deposit something within me. How many of you are ready for a holy download from God? Just like this. It might not happen in a Sunday service at 11:45 when people are in the altar and we're shouting and we're running and we're jumping. It could be on a Thursday morning. In your break room, 10 minutes, you're eating a little snack, and God begins to whisper something about your family. It might not have happened yet, but it can start with a whisper in a break room. It can start in a whisper in your car. It can start with a whisper in a prayer room. I am here to tell you, the biggest moves of your life are not going to start in a grand way. It is going to start with God whispering, not in a big wind. The wind comes and it shakes the mountain. It breaks off pieces of rock. But the Bible says God was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake happened. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. You know, verse 12 makes me a little uneasy. Because it's very easy for us to see fire and say God. We're a Book of Acts church, y'all. In a few weeks, we're going to celebrate Pentecost Sunday. But every service, we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. Because most of us are filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, which means it's not a Sunday thing, it's an everyday thing. But we have grown up, or when we came into the knowledge of Christ and received salvation, received that gift of the Holy Ghost, we love Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 that talks about tongues as cloven fire sat down on them. We talk about all of the great things of fire, that there's stories where the fire in the Old Testament consumed the sacrifice. And so can I encourage you that every fire is not of God? And so Elijah sees the tornado, God's not in it. Feels the earthquake, God's not in it. And don't you remember, Elijah's the one who's called fire down before. And the fire comes, and I'm sure Elijah's like, there's God. That's what I've been waiting for. I've been waiting for this moment. I've been waiting for this movement. And some of us are waiting for a movement, and God is waiting for a conversation. God is saying, can you hear me? Y'all remember that annoying commercial, can you hear me now? And then after 10 years, we thought we were done with it, and they brought them back for another 2 or 3 years. Can you hear me now? Good. I believe God is saying that. But listen, I don't want God to just say that on Wednesday night when we're all together. I want him to say that on Friday when all hell is breaking loose. Hey, Brandon, can you hear me now? Yes, sir, I can hear you. Good. I want to be able to hear that in the hospital, the courtroom. I want to be able to hear that in the valley, on the mountaintop. I want to ask you the question, can you hear God? Can you hear God without a worship team? Can you hear God without a pastor preaching? Can you hear God without an intercessor praying? If it's just you, can you hear God? Wasn't in the wind, no tornado. Wasn't in the earthquake. The fire shows up. I'm sure he's in the fire. And the Bible says he was not in the fire. But the Lord, after the fire, there was a still, small voice. A still, small voice. However you want to define the word still, S-T-I-L-L, still meaning a calm voice. God does not get excited like we do. You know what I love? God is not dramatic. God does not meet my level of energy. I can come to God screaming and falling apart. And it's just God saying, hey, breathe, breathe, breathe. I got it all under control. You can hear me now. I can hear you now. We're going to get through this together. I'm going to tell you exactly what to do. I'm going to tell you exactly where to go. I'm going to tell you exactly who to do it with, and we're going to get through this. I am so glad that God is not an emotional God. God does not meet me at the level of my emotion. God always brings me back to the center of who he is, and who he is peace and strength, and who he is that quiet, in that quiet moment. We talk about it, leaning back into him, resting on his promise, standing firm in faith. God, and so whether we want to talk about still being that calming thing, or still meaning it's continuing. Now I love, just preach the stillness, the calming aspect of God in a chaotic life. But can I encourage you? I love the still, the continuing voice of God. Still meaning he was speaking during the earthquake. You just couldn't hear him because of the. He was speaking during the fire. But maybe your voice was drowning out his voice because you thought the fire was the answer. I want to encourage you, in the valleys of your life, there's a still, small voice. On the mountaintops of your life, there's a still, small voice. Are you telling me that God speaks to me all the time? Every day of the week, every day that ends in Y, God is speaking to his children. This is what I want to encourage you. Sometimes on the mountaintop, you are congratulating yourself and you're high-fiving and you're listening to the cheers of the crowd and you're missing out on what God is telling you to do next. Because remember this, every victory in your life leads you to your next fight. So I celebrate and I listen. I praise, but I listen. God, thank you for slaying the bear. But now, God, tell me what I need to do for the Goliath that is sharpening his sword. God, I'm grateful for allowing me to take out the lion. But I know, God, you're whispering things. I keep hearing the word king and kingdom and anointing. And so I'm not going to get drunk on yesterday or today's success. I'm going to thank God for what he's done. But there's a still, small voice speaking. Say, well, Pastor, that doesn't apply to me because I'm not on the mountaintop, I'm in the valley. Could it be that our crying overrides the still, small voice? Anybody know someone who's hysterical? And they cry, and it's not just this lip-quivering cry. It's this, and they start hyperventilating. Even in the middle of all that, guess what's happening? A still, small voice. Breathe. God's got you. See, that the thing that I love about God is God reminds me, I had you in the last valley. I still have you in this valley. And guess what, Brandon? You're going to make it through this valley, And guess what's going to be in 2023? Another couple valleys. But I'm going to be with you in that valley. But I'm not going to yell at you. I'm going to keep it right here. And so what does that mean? You're going to have to lean in. You're going to have to cut out all the other voices. You're going to have to tone down everything else. You're going to have to tune out everybody else. I'm sorry, but it's time to talk to God. I just shared this story with a couple friends the other day, but my brother and I used to go stay with Pastor Darlene Bishop in Ohio and her family and Lawrence Bishop. I remember Darlene Bishop, the 5-foot-tall ball of fire. And when we stayed at her house, this was her rule. 11 p.m. to 12 p.m. is prayer in the living room every single night. No matter what's going on, if you're in her house at night, you got to come to prayer. That night, Mike Tyson was fighting. I was 12, 13 years of age. All of us were in my friend's bedroom. We're watching on a big screen TV. And it was that big screen TV that you couldn't set off to the side because it grayed out. You had to sit right in front of it. Y'all remember those? The big screen TV the screen was this wide, but the TV was this deep. We're sitting there. We watch prelim after prelim after prelim because you know those pay-per-views, that heavyweight fight's not going to start till 11 o'clock. Because over there in Vegas, it's not but 8 or 9 o'clock. And I remember Mike was on his way. And this was pre-ear-biting Mike. This was prime Mike. And I remember we're there. We've sat through all these preliminaries of people we don't know, people we've never heard of before. And now Mike is finally coming down to the ring. And behind Mike Tyson, you see some troll doll hair just bouncing. That would be Don King, for those of you who don't remember. And he steps in the ring, and we are within probably 6 to 8 minutes of the fight starting, and it hits 11 o'clock. Pastor Darlene opens the door. She said, "Hey, guys, it's prayer time." Well, we made our best case. It's a Mike Tyson fight. It's going to be over in 2 minutes. She left and came back in. She said, "I said it's prayer time." We stayed a little longer. She just came back in, and she unplugged the TV. She said, "I said it's prayer time. Everybody out of the room right now." I'm going to tell you right now, my least faith-filled prayer that I've ever prayed was that night in Monroe, Ohio, sitting in the dark in the living room, 11:05 p.m. I was mad. Say, what point are you proving? I'm talking about a woman who would stop everything because she knew God was speaking every day. And she said, "There's not going to be a day that goes by that we don't tune out the world and tune out what's going on around us and tune out the competing voices and say, 'Hey, God, I know you're whispering and we are listening to you. We are ready for you to speak to us about things we need to change in our lives. You're speaking about things, God, vision that is yet to come to pass.' And can I encourage you? A miracle is on the line for Bartimaeus." And so Bartimaeus has to make sure he can hear Jesus over the cheers and the jeers. But I want to encourage you today, your miracle is on the line on how close and how intimately you can hear the whispering, still voice of Jesus. Tuning out the noise. I'm already out of time. 27 seconds left on my clock. I'm just going to hit pause in Jesus' name. Verse 13, and it was so. When Elijah heard it, W-H-E-N could be the best word of your life. When. When is a turning point. We use it and we don't even realize that it is a pivotal word in our life. When I got married, pivot. When I gave my life to Christ, pivot. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, pivot. When I started serving, pivot. When I had my first child, pivot. Anytime you use the word when, you are speaking of a shift in your life. And I love when it says, and when Elijah heard it, meaning this, he was speaking in the tornado, he was speaking in the earthquake, he was speaking in the fire, and once all of that noise was out, the still small voice was heard. And the Bible says, when Elijah heard the voice, things shifted. I love our pastors. I love our pastoral team. I love bishops preaching. I love Pastor Becky's preaching. Pastor Becky's an OG thug. If you've never heard her preach, we will make sure you hear her preach. I love good preaching, but you don't need them to hear the voice of God. That's where I differ highly from our Catholic counterparts. I don't need some priest in a box talking to God for me, because I can't trust that he hears from God. But one thing I do know is I know that I can turn down everything else. I can get myself to a place to say, God, you can do sign language, and I am so close to you, and I am so in tune with you that I hear what you say. When Elijah heard it, somebody say, things changed. He wrapped his face in his mantle. He went out and he stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, a voice came unto him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? You know what I love is God's voice doesn't just speak to you when you are in the will of God. His voice continues to speak even when we are outside of the will of God. You know the way that most of us do things? When people do not meet our expectations, we give them the cold shoulder. We give them the silent treatment. Oh, but God keeps on speaking. God's voice in our lives is the volume is not raised or lowered based on what we did last night or what we did this morning. He just keeps on talking. He just keeps on speaking. He just keeps on imparting. He just keeps on giving life-transforming word. He just keeps on talking. He shows up and he says, what are you doing here, Elijah? Remember this, when God asks a question, he's not looking for information. When God asks a question, he's looking for obedience. Or when God asks a question, he is wanting you to answer so that you can hear your own mouth form into words what is happening. So when he says, what are you doing here? God says, I know what you're not doing here. You're not fulfilling my word. I know what you're not doing here. You're not fulfilling purpose. I know what you're not doing here. You're not doing what I called you to do as a prophet. One of the phrases we hear quite a bit in church today, and I am guilty of overusing this phrase, is we must lean into Jesus. However, when somebody talks really soft. See, tonight, in just a moment, Tyler's going to come, and the worship team's going to come to close out, and they can go and come up here and put a little pressure on me to end. But this has been just in me for the last few weeks, and I'm so excited to preach this message. But in just a few moments, this altar is going to fill up with people, and hopefully we're going to baptize people. And like last Wednesday night, people lingered, and we prayed for people for 20 minutes after service and baptized people after service. It was a great Wednesday night. But what's going to happen is they're going to keep playing. And Chris and Nate and Tyler, and they all think they're at Woodstock. They want the IKEA employees to hear them. And so when I start having a conversation after the church with somebody, we start like this, but I can't hear them. And so what do? I lean in. Some of us have refused to lean in. See, we're at church right now. There's a lot of people in this room with a lot of noise and a lot of voices and a lot of needs, but I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. I'm here to lean in and say, God, this world is getting pretty loud. God, my mind is getting pretty loud. God, listen to this one. Doubt in me is getting pretty loud. God, fear is getting pretty loud. And so God says, Brandon, I'm still speaking. I can't hear you, God. I see your lips moving, but I can't hear you. And God is saying, come closer, come closer, come closer. Why do people come to the altar to worship? Because there's too many distractions back there. They say, God, I want to get closer. I don't want to hear what everybody else is doing. I don't want to see what everybody else is doing. I'm tuning out the noise. God, I'm here. Speak to me. What are you doing? What are you doing here? Lean into Jesus. We lean in so that we can hear the still, small voice. Social media has its benefits, but it is so loud. It's so loud with opinions. it's so loud with the craziness of life. Some people choose to use social media to amplify the worst of humanity. It becomes so loud. Used to, you could watch ESPN and not hear anything political. But now you can't even watch a basketball game without hearing both sides of every story, and this person thinks this and this person did this, and it's loud. But I want to encourage you, church, the world's getting loud, but Jesus is still speaking. You say, why doesn't he get loud? It's not his job. It's our job to get loud. He just keeps speaking. He just keeps working. He just keeps throwing that word our way. And in a still, small voice, and I know if you're here on a Wednesday night, the voice of God and your future in God is important to you. But I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet right now. And I don't want you to think about your brother. I don't want you to think about your best friend. I don't want you to think about even your husband or wife in this moment. I want you to think about you. I want you to think about your dialogue with God. Can I talk about prayer for just a moment? Prayer is not you talking only. Prayer is a conversation. God talks, I talk. God talks, I talk. God sometimes rebukes and corrects, I talk. God, this is what I'm needing. This is what I'm going through. God talks. It's a conversation. Can I encourage somebody in the room today that if you need something from God and you need a thing from God, you really don't need a thing from God. You need the voice of God. And God is speaking to you right now in this room. Online tonight, I want to encourage you. God can speak in that dorm room just like he's speaking in this altar. God can speak in that boardroom just like he's speaking in this house today. Still small voice is saying, I've got something for you. I'm talking. I'm speaking life. I'm speaking direction. I'm speaking kingdom. I'm speaking strategies. When Jesus could have made it plain, he spoke in parables, and the disciples would say, why do you speak in riddles? Jesus said, so they won't understand. What he's saying is you got to get close. You got to get really close to hear what I'm saying. If you've been married a long time, hopefully that fire's still going, but every once in a while you'll be in a public gathering and you'll pull her or pull him close and you'll whisper something in their ear. What you're saying is, I don't want anyone else to hear this.